Proverbs 31, and of course, being Mother's Day, I want to bring a sermon this morning kind of for moms, or not necessarily just moms, but ladies in general. Let me say this, though. I want to teach to the ladies this morning, but everything that's being taught to the ladies applies to men as well. So if you're a man here, don't think, oh, well, I don't have to listen, or it's not for me. It's for everybody. The Word of God is for everybody. But in Proverbs 31, we find a proverb given by a mother to her son. If you look at verse 1, the Bible says there, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. The book of Proverbs is known as the book of wisdom. It is where we go and get all sorts of insight into life, and we get all these proverbs about how to live wise lives and not make bad decisions. And Proverbs 31 is dedicated to this mother who gives advice to her son. And he gives him all sorts of advice. Notice verse 2, she says, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. He says, give not thy strength unto women. So I want you to notice, the first thing that she talks to her son about is she is concerned that he's going to be interested in and give his strength and marry and give his life to the wrong woman. And listen to me, moms, it would be good for you to train your boys that are young, you ought to train them to make sure that when they are looking for a spouse, they're looking for the right type of woman that's going to be a God-honoring, fearing lady that they could marry. Here, this mom doesn't just sit idly by and says, well, you know, I'm just going to let my son kind of date whoever he wants and go where. She takes it upon herself to teach him. She says, give not thy strength unto women. Notice, she not only teaches him about women in verse 3, she also says, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She says, hey, listen, Lemuel, there are things that can destroy your life. You say, what is she talking about? Look at verse 4. It is not for kings. Because remember, Lemuel was a king. And she said, it's not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to strong drink. It'd be good for moms to raise children nowadays and to go to your children and say, hey, listen, there are things that can destroy your life. Alcohol can destroy your life. Drugs can destroy your life. There are sins of addiction and habits out there that can destroy you. Hear this mom. She's talking to her son, and she says, I don't want you to give your strength unto women. She says, I don't want you to go the way that can destroy kings. And some people like to say, oh, well, she's talking to a king. The Bible says there that it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine. And people like to say, well, I'm not a king, so that verse doesn't apply to me. But the Bible says in the book of Revelation that if you are saved, you have been given the power, you have been created, and you have been made a king and a priest unto God and his Father. So in Jesus Christ, we are royalty. In Jesus Christ, we are king. And it'd be good for moms to look at their little son or their little daughter and say, hey, listen, son, listen, daughter, I know that there's going to be people in your life and there's going to be other children that are in your life that they may want you to do drugs or they may want you to drink alcohol. They may want you to do these things that are going to ruin your life. If they want to do that, that's fine, but you're better than that, son. You're a child of the king, son. You ought not give your strength to the wrong type of woman, and you ought not give your ways to that which destroyeth kings. Here you have a mom giving some good advice to her son. Notice what she says, verse 5. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment. By the way, that's why you should not drink alcohol, because you'll forget the law and you'll pervert judgment. Give strong drink unto them that are ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. I don't understand. People take this verse and say, see, you're supposed to give strong drink. It says if you're ready to die, go ahead and drink. He says if you ruin your life, if your wife left you, if you lost your job, if you're just down and out, if you're living on the streets, go ahead and drink alcohol. That's for you. But if you want something better than that, Lemuel, said, you ought not give yourself to that. Notice verse 7. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. If your life is miserable, go ahead and drink. But if you want to live a life of joy, here you have a mom pleading with her son, saying, stay away from that, Lemuel. It can destroy you. It'll destroy your life. Notice verse 8. She says, open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. She says, you ought to defend those that aren't able to defend themselves. She says, open your mouth to judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So here, she's giving them all sorts of advice, but I want you to notice in verse 10, she comes back to this idea. Because she says, Lemuel, I want to give you some advice. And by the way, if you don't like Proverbs 31, you know, sometimes I'll preach this and maybe ladies will get upset and they say, well, I don't think you should be saying this. Keep in mind, this is the word of God, number one. Written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, number two. But they are the words of a mother to her son. And she says, I don't want you to give your strength unto women that you should not be giving your strength to. And then in verse 10, she says this, who can find a virtuous woman? He says, for her price is far above rubies. So this wasn't some nagging mother-in-law that just didn't think any woman was good enough for her son. You know what I mean? It wasn't that she just didn't want her son to get married. She just wanted to make sure that he married a virtuous woman. And she begins to tell her, this virtuous woman, she is worthy of something. Her price is far above rubies. And she spends basically the remainder of this chapter explaining to Lemuel, who many believe is another name for Solomon, the characteristics of a virtuous woman. She spends 17 verses explaining to her son what type of woman he should be looking for and what makes a virtuous woman. As I was studying these 17 verses, I found 12 characteristics within these verses of a virtuous woman. I want to share those with you this morning. I know it's 12 points. We're not going to be here, you know, like 4 hours. Don't worry, okay? I'm going to give you 12 characteristics of a virtuous woman. It's going to be rapid fire. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. Where I'm just going to give it to you, make a few comments, and move on. I'll repeat the points over and over. This would be a great sermon for some of you ladies to take notes and jot these down. You can study this out on your own. I want you to understand, moms, it is your job to not only teach your sons the type of woman that he should be looking for, but it is also your job to teach your daughters the type of woman that they should be. And today we have this idea in parenting that I often say this, parents think that like their job is to basically perform the job of a jail, you know? I give them food, I give them shelter, I give them clothing. Once their sentence is done, it's 18 years, I sent them off, they're on parole. Okay, that's not parenting. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Your job as a mom and your job as a dad is to train, is to instruct, is to prepare your children for the future. And here you have a beautiful example of a mom who's not wasting her time on Facebook. She's not wasting her time on soap operas. She's not wasting her time just, you know, being a busybody or being a gossip. She takes her son down. She says, son, let me talk to you and let me explain to you the way you ought to live your life. And she says, I want to explain to you the type of woman you ought to be looking for, and it would be good for some of you moms to do that with your sons. And here's the problem. You want to do that with your 36-year-old son after he's already married. You want to go to your grown son who's already married, who's already done married the wrong girl, and go to him and say, well, here's why you shouldn't have married her, and this is why I knew it was wrong, and this, look, you should have taught him that when he was 13, not when he's 33. You understand that? You should have taught, you say, well, let me tell you why you married, you go to your daughter, let me tell you why you married the wrong guy. You should have told him that before they got married. And see, it is our job as parents to train our children and instruct our children. And it's Mother's Day, and we want to honor you, and we want to love you, and we want to appreciate you. But I also want to challenge you, moms, to take your job of motherhood seriously and to instruct your children in the way they should go. Let me give you 12 characteristics of a virtuous woman. And by the way, if you're going to teach your daughter how to be a virtuous woman, you might want to set the example by being a virtuous woman. If you want to teach your son the type of woman that he ought to marry, you might want to set that example by being that virtuous woman. And that way your son can look for someone just like mom was, and because you set a great example. Number one, and we're going to spend a lot of time on it. I'm going to give you these 12 points. You're going to be able to go. Some of you, I know you got to take your mom out. You're going to take her to McDonald's. That's good, I guess, you know, or whatever. Wherever you're going, you're going to take her. That's great. We're going to go through these. Write these down, and you can study them out on your own. If you are a lady, I would encourage you to read Proverbs 31. You know, study it, learn it, memorize it. It is a great, great passage for ladies to memorize. Number one, a virtuous woman is trustworthy. A virtuous woman is trustworthy. Look at verse number 11, Proverbs 31 and verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. If you have a virtuous woman, or you are a virtuous woman, you are the type of woman that your husband trusts. He's not worried. He's not sitting at home thinking, what is she doing? Or what is she not doing? Or what is she buying from the, Shop at Home Network? Or where who is she meeting up with? A virtuous woman, number one, is a trustworthy woman. Here you have the mother of Lemuel saying, you want to find a virtuous woman because the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. You say, well, how, How can you get to the place where a husband just trusts his wife, that she's not doing anything that's going to mess up his finances or mess up his life or whatever? How does he do that? Notice verse 12. She will do him good. He is safe in the fact that he knows that she has his best interest. And by the way, the reverse is true. How does a wife get to the place where she does safely trust in her husband when he does her good? When she knows that he's got her best interest in mind, not his buddy's best interest in mind, not the guys at the bar's best interest in mind, not his job. When a woman knows, my husband has my best interest in mind, or when a husband knows, my wife has my best interest in mind, then your heart can safely trust in that individual. That's a virtuous woman. That's a virtuous man. A virtuous woman, number one, is someone who is trustworthy. A virtuous woman, number two, here's where we're going to start getting all controversial and some of you are going to get all bent out of sorts. But it's the Word of God. A virtuous woman feeds her family well. Look at verse 14. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Now, you got to understand the context that the book of Proverbs is being written in. Because today we live in this, you know, microwave society where you go home and you got a refrigerator full of food. And we've got all these things. But you got to understand, during these times, when the merchant ships would come back, these men, I mean, think about the time frame in which, you know, the book of Proverbs was written in this ancient world. Men would literally get on boats, and they would leave their homes for 3 or 4 years. They would go, they would travel. They would endanger their lives. They would, you know, go to all these places. Many of them would die. Many would die of sickness and disease or storms. Or they would get to these foreign lands and they would die at the hands of the barbarians that lived in those lands. And they would gather, you know, goods and they would come back home. And they would do all that for what? Spices? Salt? Pepper? I mean, have you ever thought about that? I mean, how bad must have their food been? To be able to say, you know what, I'm going to get on a boat, I'm going to go down to India, and I'm going to risk my life because I need some spice. I mean, you know, because they're thinking to themselves, this meal, it tastes like a dead animal. You know what I mean? And I've got to put something on this to make it taste good. And that's the idea that the mother of Lemuel is saying. She's saying she's like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. He says, it's like when we see those ships and we know they're bringing good food from all over the world and they're bringing good food from all these places. This is how a virtuous woman is. She riseth also, verse 15, while it is yet night, and giveth meat. The word meat is an older word in the King James Bible that just means food. It says, she giveth meat to her household and portions to her maidens. This lady made sure that her family was well taken care of. She consistently feeds her family good, nutritious food. She's not just constantly just taking them to, you know, the drive-thru and getting them junk food. And listen to me, I'm not against drive-thrus. We go through drive-thrus. I think drive-thrus are fine from time to time. But a virtuous woman is a woman who takes pride in preparing good, nutritious meals for her husband and her children. She cooks a variety of food. Listen to me, this virtuous woman, she's not making this big helping of hamburger helper on Monday and then feeding her husband and kids leftovers for the next 3 days, okay? I mean, this woman takes pride in what she does. She says, I am going to cook good meals. I'm like a merchant ship that brings food from afar. I'm going to create different types of meals. I'm going to make sure my family is taken care of. I'm going to make sure that they don't go hungry. A virtuous woman is a type of woman that feeds her family well. And let me give some of you guys advice. Some of you guys that aren't married or you young boys, don't. And again, I know this is not popular or whatever, but let me just give you, I do enough marriage counseling. I talk to enough people to just go ahead and throw this out there. Do not marry a woman who does not cook, guys. All right? Unless you want to work 8 or 10 or 12 hours and then come home and cook, okay? Don't marry a woman who doesn't like to cook. If she don't, you know, people don't get this. If she didn't like to cook before she married you, she's not going to like to cook after she married you. I tell ladies all the time, he didn't have a job before you married him. Why do you think he's going to get a job after you marry him? All right? Just trying to give you some advice, helping you out. Look at verse 16. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planted the vineyard. Number three, a virtuous woman is good with finances. Look, she's not an impulse buyer. She's not just, you know, I just saw that, I want to get it. Notice, she considereth the field. She thinks about it, and then she buys it. When she buys with a purpose. She buyeth it. Why? With the fruit of her hands, she planted the vineyard. She thinks of it. She says, I'm going to buy that vineyard. I'm going to buy that field. And she says, I'm going to buy it so I can plant something on it, so I can have a vineyard. She's good with her finances. And that's why her husband's not at work thinking, I wonder what she's buying on Amazon now. I wonder what she's getting on the internet now. This is why we can't get out of debt, you know, and all these problems. She's good with her finances. She's not just spending money. She's not just impulse buying. She's not just, I want this and I want that and we need these things. No, no, no. She's just considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. So, number one, a virtuous woman is trustworthy. Number two, a virtuous woman feeds her family well. Number three, a virtuous woman is good with finances. Number four, look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. A virtuous woman takes care of her body. Now look, we're not talking about being a supermodel, okay? The Hollywood gives you this idea that you got to look this certain way. But a virtuous woman, the Bible says she girdeth her loins with strength. She strengtheneth her arms. She's not weak. She's not unhealthy. She's fit enough to be able to get work done. My wife was going on and on about the ladies' tea that they had on Friday night. She had some of the ladies come out and help her. She came home. She was like, man, these ladies were working so hard. They were just going at it. They were just not stopping. They just did such a great job. And that's great. That's a great testimony that you just have strengthened your arms, that you're just ready to work, that you're not just sitting there and having to be babied and having to be, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. A virtuous woman takes care of her body. And by the way, we all ought to steward our bodies well. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own. Do you understand that your body doesn't belong to you? The Bible says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Notice, which are God's. Your body does not belong to you. It belongs to God. And we ought to steward our health well. We ought to steward our body well. We ought to take care of the body that God has given us. Number five, a virtuous woman helps people in need. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. This is the type of woman that is trying to help people. This is the type of woman who sees someone who's poor and she says, I want to help out that individual. This is the type of woman that sees someone who's in need and says, I want to reach out to them and I want to be helpful. I'm not just about me. It's not just about self-centeredness. It's not just about what can I get for myself. She says, I want to make myself available to help people. A virtuous woman helps people in need. Number six, a virtuous woman takes care of her household's clothing needs. Look at verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Her kids are dressed well. They're taken care of. Go back to verse 19. Notice what it says in verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. There are times where you'll see a lady who's dressed very nice. She's got everything. You know, she looks nice. And then you look at her children and they're all just messed up and tore up. That's not right. You ought to make sure that your children are dressed well and taken care of. You ought to make sure a virtuous woman takes care of her household's clothing needs. She makes sure that her kids are dressed well. And you know what? That's usually mom who takes care of that. You know, dads, they're kind of oblivious. My wife was busy this week with this lady's tea thing. And she was going to be gone on Friday night because she was cooking or getting ready for the ladies' tea. And I thought, man, this is my opportunity. I got the kids together. We went off to Walmart, you know, where I was going to pick something up for my wife there or whatever. And we get out of the van. And I shouldn't even be saying this because my wife's in the room. But we get out of the van, take a look at my boys. Their pants are all cut up. You know, they're playing outside. So they put on their clothes that are all messed up that they're supposed to play. They're supposed to play in their messed up clothes, not their nice clothes. You know, I look at them, I'm like, man, you guys look like a mess. You know, who dressed you like this? You know, I'm thinking to myself, wait, I'm in charge. You know, because my wife, she wouldn't let them out of the house like that. She'd be like, hey, go put on a nice pair of pants. Go put on a clean shirt. I'm looking and I'm thinking to myself, can you guys walk like three steps behind me? Because this is kind of embarrassing, you know. And I was thinking to myself, you know, a mom takes care of her kids. Dads, you know, I'm just like, get in the van, let's go, you know. But a virtuous woman makes sure that her children are taken care of, that her children's household and their clothing is taken care of. So number one, a virtuous woman is trustworthy. Number two, a virtuous woman feeds her family well. Number three, a virtuous woman is good with finances. Number four, a virtuous woman takes care of her body. Number five, a virtuous woman takes care of her household's clothing needs. Number six, a virtuous woman helps people in need. Number seven, a virtuous woman dresses well. Here's a good one. I think you ladies will like this one. A virtuous woman dresses well. Look at verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Sometimes people get this idea like, I'm a Christian, so I've got to look like the bag woman. You know, like, hey, you don't find that in Scripture. You don't find God, you know, you find the Bible telling ladies that they ought to dress modestly. You find the Bible telling ladies that they ought to dress in a way that does not bring attention to themselves, that they should not have this, you know, this agenda where men are lusting after them, that you ought to dress modestly and you ought to dress, you know, covering up your nakedness. You find that in the Scripture. But you know what you don't find in the Scriptures? Where the Bible just tells you to look frumpy and ugly and to just wear, look, you know that you can be modest and beautiful? You know that you can be covered up and look nice? You know, one of the things that I'm so thankful for is that every day when I leave my house and I come back home, my wife, you know, she may not be going anywhere, but she dresses nice. She does her hair. She gets ready for the day. You know, ladies, let me just encourage you. Those of you, I'm talking to those of you that stay home, don't let your husband go off to work and come back and find you in your pajamas. I mean, take some, you know, pride in yourself and say, hey, I can dress nice. And if your husband says, well, I'm not going to buy you nice clothes, you take him to Proverbs 31 and verse 22 and you tell him, if you want me to be a virtuous woman, you know, I need to be covered in tapestry and my clothing needs to be silk and purple. The Bible teaches that they ought to dress nice. They ought to look nice. You don't have to look frumpy. You don't have to look, you know, people get this idea, well, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. I just got to look, you don't have to look like you're homeless. You can dress nice. You ought to look nice. And I'm not talking about, expensive clothes, designer clothes. That's not what we're talking about. You know, if you buy your clothes at the thrift store, praise the Lord for it. You're good with money. But you ought to look nice. You ought to dress nice. The virtuous woman dresses well. Number eight, a virtuous woman helps her husband succeed. Look at verse number 23, Proverbs 31, verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, the gate would be considered like the workplace. This is like where the decisions were made. The men would sit at the gate and make decisions about the future of the nation. And the Bible says that her husband is known in the gate. He's a successful man. Keep your finger there in Proverbs 31 and go with me just real quickly to Genesis chapter number 2. Should be fairly easy to find. First book in the Bible, Genesis chapter number 2. A virtuous woman helps her husband succeed. If your husband is a success, ladies, then you are a success. I remember hearing a story one time. I think I've said this before, but there's a story of George Herbert Bush, not George W. Bush, but his dad, and he was going through Texas in a limousine, and they stopped by. The limousine stopped by. He had his wife with him, Barbara Bush, and they stopped by to get some gas, you know. And this guy comes out, and Barbara looks at him, and she says, hey, so-and-so. And they started talking, you know. She comes out of the limo. She starts talking with this guy. And he's an attendant at the gas station there, and he's putting gas in their limo, you know. And they kind of talk. And he comes back in, and the president at the time, George Bush, looks at his wife and says, who is that? She's like, oh, that was my high school sweetheart. When we were in high school, we dated. He started laughing, ha, ha. He's like, that was your high school sweetheart? The guy that works at the guy that just filled our gas? And he's just laughing about it. And he's like, what do you think he would have been if you would have married him? And she kind of chuckles. She's like, well, if I would have married him, he'd be the president. You know, and that's how it is sometimes, you know? You say, well, your husband's like, well, I've made God. Listen, if your husband's successful, it's because he's got a wife that's helping him. And by the way, if your husband's failing wives, you're failing. Because your job is to be, are you there in Genesis chapter 2? Look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. The word meet means suitable. God said, I'm going to create a help suitable for the man to help him succeed. If your husband is successful, it's because he's got a successful woman at home who's helping him. And women like to say, well, my husband's a failure. I'm going to leave him because he's just he's this and he's that. He can't hold down a job. Hey, listen a minute. If he's failing, you're failing. Because your job is to help him succeed. And this is why I tell ladies all the time, don't marry men that have these character issues. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I don't even perform a wedding for a man who doesn't have a job. If you want me to do your wedding and you don't have a job, I'm not going to do your wedding. You need to go get a job before I do your wedding. You know why? Because this is what I found. A guy that doesn't have a job before he gets married won't get a job after he gets married. Then the wife wants to leave him. He won't get a job. He didn't get a job when you were dating him. He was sitting, you know, sleeping on your couch when you were dating him. That should have told you something. You know, and you sign up men to father a child and to, you know, marry a lady, you ought to take care of her. If she's a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. You ought to take care of her. You ought to go get a job. You ought to work. And, you know, women get this idea. Well, he's not succeeding and he's not successful and he's, you know, mean and he's stubborn and he's ugly and he's lazy. But he was mean and stubborn and ugly and lazy before you married him. I'm just trying to help you out. You say, well, he's not succeeding. Then help him succeed. Well, he doesn't have any initiative. Then burn a fire in him. Help him, love him, encourage him. Say, honey, you can do better than this. You can be the president or whatever you want him to be. I don't know. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. A virtuous woman helps her husband succeed. Number 9, a virtuous woman, if she must, works from home. Now, let me explain that. Look at verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Here we have this woman who's making stuff at home, and she sells it, but notice, she delivers it unto the merchants. She doesn't have a shop. She just takes it to the shops and sells it to them. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me give you a few disclaimers, because I know some of you are thinking, oh, disclaimer is not the right word, but let me just give you some things to give you context. First of all, I understand, because you're going to ask me after the service, or you're going to send me an email, so let me just go ahead and answer. I understand that we live in a sinful world. I understand that because of sin and because of pride and because of just people not doing what they said they were going to do, some ladies are put in a position where they have to raise their children on their own. I'm not talking to you. I understand. You say, there's no man around. He left. He will not provide. He will not pay the bills. I have to go get a job. If you got to do what you got to do. That's not God's will. That's not God's perfect will. But you've got to take care of yourself. I understand that. But listen to me. If you have the ability, if you have the opportunity to stay home and raise your children, if you've got a husband who says, I will work and I will support you and I want you to stay home and raise the children, ladies, it is your job to raise those kids. That's what the Bible teaches. Are you in 1 Timothy chapter 5? Look at verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says this, I will, therefore. This is God telling you what his will for your life is. He says, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The Bible teaches that it is God's will for young women to marry, bear children, and guide the house. The best thing you could do with your life if you've got a child is to stay home and raise that child. And I know you say, well, this is old-fashioned, and this is not the society we live in, and I understand that, but listen to me. We've been brainwashed by Satan to think incorrectly. Women have been, you know, brainwashed to get this idea, like, you're not valuable if you're not at work. If you're not somebody's receptionist, if you're not somebody's, you know, CEO, if you're not some construction worker, if you're not, then you're not valuable. Let me tell you something. That's not what God considers value. You get this idea. I need to go. That's going to be my value. The value that God puts on the life of an individual is to take an eternal soul and raise it for the glory of God. To invest your life in the life of a child is the most valuable thing you can do. And today we have this society that minimizes that and says, no, put your kids in daycare and you go get a job. Why don't you raise your kids? Why don't you love your kids? Why don't you guide them? Why don't you be like Lemuel's mother here and spend time with your children and don't let the world tell you that you're wasting your time? When we go to do our taxes and they want to say to my wife, oh, you're a stay-at-home, oh, you don't have a job. It's like, why don't you stay home with your kids? You'll see how much work it is. It's funny, you know, people want to say, oh, well, you don't work because you stay home. You've obviously never stayed home with kids. It's a lot of work. You know, these women want to put their kids in daycare and go off to work because it's easier to go to work than to stay home with children, feed them, love them, instruct them, teach them the Bible, make sure they're taken care of, make sure that they're loved, make sure it's work, it's not, and don't let the world change the perception and tell you that you're wasting your time if you're spending your life investing in children. You're not a second-class citizen. You're doing the greatest thing that you could do with your life. You say, well, you're, you know, think about this. Before I was a pastor, I fixed air conditioners. Oh, that's valuable, right? And listen to me, it's good to fix air conditioners. I like fixing air conditioners. It made money for our family. It took care of us. You're a plumber. You, whatever you do, that's great. But think about the impact that I'm making for eternity when I go and fix an air conditioner. I made an impact for a summer, and then the next summer I'm going to come back and fix it again. But a mother who stays home and invests her lives in the child of an eternal, in an eternal soul, that is valuable. Her price is far above rubies. So don't let the world warp your mind and tell you, oh, you're wasting your time. You gotta go be the CEO of the whatever. Go be the CEO of eBay. No, go love your kids. Go invest your life in your kids. God gave you those kids. He didn't give them to the daycare worker. God gave you those kids to train and love. I will, therefore, that the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You older ladies, your kids are raised and gone. You want to go get a job? I'm not against that. You know, that's fine. But you got kids at home, you raise those kids. And some of you men need to just step up and say, I'll work two or three jobs if I have to, but I'll make sure that my wife can fulfill her life's calling, which is to raise the children that God has given her. So number one, a virtuous woman is trustworthy. Number two, a virtuous woman feeds her family well. Number three, a virtuous woman is good with finances. Number four, a virtuous woman takes care of her body. Number five, a virtuous woman takes care of her household's clothing needs. Number six, a virtuous woman helps people in need. Number seven, a virtuous woman dresses well. Number eight, a virtuous woman helps her husband succeed. Number nine, a virtuous woman, if she must, works from home. And by the way, there's so many jobs you could do from home, ladies. You say, I need to work. I need to make money. There's things you could do from home. There's things you could do, you know, and still have your kids around and be able to love them. Number 10, a virtuous woman is confident in her ability. Look at verse 25, Proverbs 31, verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She is confident in her ability. You know why some of you are sitting there right now and you're thinking, I can't believe that he's saying this. I can't believe. You know why? Here's the thing. If you were confident in what you're doing, you wouldn't be saying that. See, I think Pastor Eman is wrong. Okay, well, if you're confident that it is right for you to just drop, you're going to put them in daycare, you're going to send them to school, then you're going to put them in an after-school program, and all you're going to do is bring them home, put them to bed, and, you know, raise your kids that way. If that's true, then why are you so mad? You know, why aren't you confident in what you're doing? I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit is telling you, this is true. And you say, well, that's not popular today. Look, it doesn't matter if it's popular. It's the Word of God. You say, well, that's not what Dr. Phil, I don't care what Dr. Phil, Oprah Winfrey, Hillary Clinton, I don't care what they said. The word of God is true. Amen. The Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And people say, well, this is old-fashioned. Some of us, we need to get back to a little old-fashioned. Little old-fashioned when mom stayed home and raised their kids. We weren't having teenagers going into high schools and shooting up, you know, their friends or kindergartners. We didn't have so many children born out of wedlock. We didn't have so many people struggling with drugs and alcohol. We didn't have the abortion rates we have now. We didn't have all the filth we have now when moms used to stay home and say, I'm going to raise my kids and impart in them the fear of God and the love of God. Say, you're a little old-fashioned. We need a little old-fashioned. We need to get back to everlasting old-fashioned, as old-fashioned as the Word of God is. Our society is messed up. And it's messed up because some moms are not doing the job that they should be doing. Would to God you would say, today, I'm going to be the mother that God created me to be. A virtuous woman is confident in her ability. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She's not self-centered, but she's self-confident. She is not proud, but she takes pride in her work. Number 11, a virtuous woman chooses her words wisely. Look at verse 26. I won't spend too much time on this. The ladies learned about this at the ladies' tea yesterday. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You don't have to turn there, but Colossians 4:6 says this, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Ladies learned yesterday at the ladies' tea to stop, observe, and pray. When you're tempted to react as your husband, look, I get it. I'm a husband. I'm a man. Guys are hard-headed. They don't get things. They don't take hints well. I get it. When that guy's just being an idiot and you just want to say something, just stop. And just say, you know what? I'm a virtuous woman. And a virtuous woman opens her mouth with wisdom. And the law of kindness is in her mouth. You want, listen, ladies, you want your children to remember you as the type of lady that no matter what I did, mom, she always kept her cool. You don't want your kids remembering you as, remember her mom would just, you know, she started throwing things and saying things and throwing chairs and it was every man. You don't want them to remember you like that. You want them to remember you as this virtuous woman. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Number 12, a virtuous woman is a hard worker. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. The word idle means without purpose or pointless. You ever put your car in idle? You're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. Here she says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not just sitting there doing nothing. And by the way, you know, you say, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Listen, you're not a stay-at-home mom if all you do is sit around and do nothing. Don't be, well, I'm going to stay home and just be on Facebook all day or just watch TV all day. Hey, this woman gets to work. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Look at verse 13. Go back to verse 13. Notice what it says. She seeketh wool and flax. Notice. And worketh willingly with her hands. She's willing to work. She wants to get to work. She wants to be able to take care of her family. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night. Before the sun comes up, mom's already up. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and portions to her maidens. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. This lady's getting up early, staying up late, and working all day long. She's not idle. She's a hard worker. She realizes the importance of her job. She realizes that she's got kids to raise. She realizes that she's got the most important job in the world. And she takes it seriously. And she says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to get to work. So we said, number one, a virtuous woman is trustworthy. Number two, a virtuous woman feeds her family well. Number three, a virtuous woman is good with finances. Number four, a virtuous woman takes care of her body. Number five, a virtuous woman takes care of her household's clothing needs. Number six, a virtuous woman helps people in need. Number seven, a virtuous woman dresses well. Number eight, a virtuous woman helps her husband succeed. Number nine, a virtuous woman, if she must, works from home while raising her children. Number 10, a virtuous woman is confident in her abilities. Number 11, a virtuous woman chooses her words wisely. Number 12, a virtuous woman is a hard worker. You say, well, I can't believe that you would preach that. I can't believe that anybody would think that. I can't believe that anybody would take all that seriously. That's fine. But here's the difference. You say, well, that's kind of radical. That's fine. But listen, especially some of you moms that still have young children at home, or maybe you're not a mom yet, but you're going to be one soon. If you buy into this, that's crazy. If you buy into this, if you say, I'm going to forget the brainwashing that I got in college. I'm going to forget the brainwashing that I got from TV. I'm going to forget. Look, you know why they call TV programming? Because they're programming you. I'm going to forget all the brainwashing that I received from this heathen, you know, satanic culture, and I'm going to be the mom that God wants me to be. I'm going to take this Proverbs 31 woman, and I'm going to become this woman. Listen to me, ladies. If you do that, here's the result. Verse 28, her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. So you don't have to listen to me. It's fine. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I'm not married to you. I'm going to just do exactly what the world tells me to do. I'm going to put those kids in daycare. I'm going to go get a job, and I'm going to make money, and I'm not going to need no man. You do that, and then we'll see you when your grown kids don't even want to talk to you. And then we'll see you when you're getting a divorce. So are you mad at people who get divorced? I'm not mad at people who get a divorce, but listen to me. Divorce is not good. And everybody wants to get mad at you for preaching against divorce, but we need to warn these kids to make good decisions, to marry the right woman and marry the right man. Before you make that commitment, make sure you are taking on a virtuous man or woman. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou tellest them all. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. The word vain means empty. If your greatest asset, ladies, is your beauty, you are truly empty. Because guess what? Beauty fades. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. See, this virtuous woman, there's something more to her than her looks. And by the way, you young girls, let me tell you something. You start getting serious about a guy, make sure he's more interested than just the way you look. If all he's interested is in putting his hands on your body or making just looking at you or enjoying the way you look, go find somebody who respects you, who loves you. He wants to, you know, get physical with you, make him put a ring on your finger. Why don't you respect yourself? I'm trying to help you. Some of you girls need to just make sure you tell these guys, they want to put their hands all over you, say, hey, go get a job, go buy me a ring, and then we'll talk. I'm worth a little more than that. But see, we're teaching our kids that they're animals. And then we wonder why they act like animals. It is our job to raise our children, to teach them, listen, daughter, listen, son, you are a child of God. You are a king. You are a priest. God favors you and God loves you. You are worth something. Don't let people take advantage of you. Don't let people belittle you and treat you like you're worthless. That's not for you. Maybe for them, but not for you. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Look at verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You say, well, if I don't go get a job, then how are people going to know? Look, you raise your kids right, and your own works will praise you in the gates. I bring this up again, but I think it's good every once in a while to just put our lives in perspective. There is no mom in the world that on her deathbed said, I just wish I would have kept those kids in daycare one more year. I just really wish I ought to put my kids in more afternoon activities so I didn't have to deal. No one says that. But you know what moms say over and over and over? You know what they say? They say, I regret not spending more time with my children. When they're paying for them to go to the recovery programs, you know what they're saying? I regret working while my child was a teenager. I should have been influencing their life. Maybe they wouldn't have messed up their lives in this way. That's what they say. I hear it all the time. I'm trying to help you out. You say, it's Mother's Day. I'm trying to challenge you to be the type of mom whose works will praise her in the gates, whose children will rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and praiseth her. Because you cannot go wrong with the Word of God. You cannot mess up doing what the Bible says. You say, well, the world thinks we're crazy. Let the world think you're crazy. I'd rather raise my kids right and make sure that they love and honor God and their lives are good. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Proverbs 31. Father, I understand.